to charge, and but Pastor got that, so I'll stay with what I was doing. But praise the Lord, ordaining someone into the ministry in 2013, that's a blessing. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we'll start in verse 1. Revelation 21. Don't want to take too long tonight. Of course, famous last words for an evangelist. But want to leave room for Brother Will Skipper. So, Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. I'm looking forward to when all this stuff gets passed away. Amen. Thank God. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And when he does, it never gets old. It'll always be new. Man, that'd be good. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, God, I just pray now that you bless this message. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege to be here. God, to be in an old-fashioned meeting, Lord God, and to read the holy words of God, and Lord, to be saved on my way to heaven. Lord, my wife is saved, and God, just a bunch of people here tonight are saved. If there's anybody lost on their way to hell, God, I pray tonight they'd be born again. Lord, I just pray you deal with them. Father, I pray you bless this message. I pray you'd be pleased with it, and I pray, God, you'd minister to hearts. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to preach tonight on verse 4. And I guess, you know, I have a hard time with favorites. But I will say John is my favorite book of the Bible. I will say that. I do have that. But if I had a favorite verse, I guess it would be verse 4 in the Bible. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, in baseball, you listen to it maybe on the radio or something like that, and in my day it was Mark McGuire. I don't know who those sluggers are now, but you live on the road, you're lucky to know who's president, you know, it's but anyway, McGuire'd get up to the plate, you know, and he'd hit one, you know, and the announcer would say, it's going, going, gone, you know, and he hits home run over there. And there's a number of things in this life today. Now, Brother McFadden knows a lot more. He talks about the old days up there in the hills of Missouri. But there's some things that are gone in this life. The floorboard dimmer switch is gone. I was thinking about this. Did anybody drive a car here tonight that has a floorboard dimmer switch? Anybody? Oh, a few of you. Oh, amen. Okay. All right. Yeah, but you got the bus, huh? Is that how it is? Really? Yeah. Now, some of you are like, huh? What's that? You know. And of course, you know, I remember those growing up, you know, learned to drive, you know, and you high and low beam was with your left foot on the floor. And if you had a clutch, you know, it could be kind of interesting, or would you blind the guy coming towards you if you had to shift, you know. And then they started, you know, them Japanese cars in that day. It was all them Jap cars, you know. And it was up on the column. So they started putting it up on the column, you know, and everybody started going on the column. And man, they started having all kinds of accidents. Because the Polacks, they had a hard time getting their foot up on the column, you know. And but they caught on after a while, you know. Amen. Eight track tapes. Remember those? They're gone. Thank God. Amen. They were designed to fail. You know, I mean, it's just how they were designed. I mentioned this one church. I said 8-track tapes, and afterwards, this younger guy came up to me and said, "I thought you were talking about some rock group." I said, "Oh no, man! It was just, you know, before cassettes, you know." And of course, some of the things are coming back vinyl. You know, it's vinyl now. You know, and stuff, that sort of thing. And of course, I guess they still have bottle openers. That's you know. I was thinking those are gone, but they're not. Mothballs, I guess they're still around. A pie closet. How many of you know what a pie closet is? Yeah, a few of you. Of course, I'm down south, you know. You know, up north, they're like, I don't have a clue. And he said, what's a pie closet? It's where you would, where a mom or grandma would put the pies, and it had like a screen on the front to keep the flies out, and they'd put it in this closet, these doors, and then the pie could cool without getting flies and things on it, you know, ready for supper or whatever. And that's a pie closet. A party line. How many of you remember a party line? Remember that? Oh, a number of you. You know, some of you are like, party line, what's that? When we moved out to this one area, we moved into a new house out kind of country, and up there in California, we had a party line. There was, I think there was 5 houses on 1 phone line. Now you think about that. 5 houses on 1 phone line. And, you know, we'd want to go make a phone call and, you know, pick up the phone. Mrs. Cattu, she was retired, you know, didn't have anything to do all day. She'd be on there talking. We'd hang up, have to go do something, you know. Come back 15 minutes later, she's still on there. It's like, oh, man, will that lady ever get off, you know? I mean, 5 people, 5 houses on 1 phone line, and now you got people with 4 phone lines in their pocket. You know? You say, well, I like it that way. I do too. I do too. It's a lot better. You know? Another thing that's gone, an outhouse. An outhouse. You know? They're gone. Now, every now and then, there's a few around. You get up in Maine, there's a few. And we went to one church up in Pennsylvania. They still had one till just recently. And man, one morning I was using it. The sun was hitting it before church. It was hot, stunk. And you know, they took care of it. They tried to really keep it good, and it wasn't horrible. But you know, it wasn't like the restrooms we have here. You know, there was an aroma. You know, and you know. And that sun beating on that thing, and it was, you know, the women on one side, men on the other side, you know, and, you know, doors and wall in between, that sort of thing. And I was in there using it, getting ready, you know, getting to church, and there was a lady pulled up, and her daughter got out. She and her daughter. Daughter must have been about 8 years old, and they're getting ready to go into the church, you know. And they walked by the, out of house, and a little girl, maybe a little girl a little bit younger than that, probably about 5. And she goes, Mama, I gotta use the restroom. She goes, oh, honey. She said, but Mama, I've gotta use the restroom. She goes, oh, all right. And they didn't know I was in there, you know, came in there, and the lady's in there going, oh, honey, would you hurry up? Just, oh, it stinks. Oh, it's just, oh man, that's funny. But, you know, outhouses are gone. Although I heard this one, it's going to be a while, brother. There's this preacher, brother, I won't say the name. But anyway, went to Kentucky. And he started a church in Kentucky, in backwoods Kentucky. And there's this man and his wife in his church, and they built a brand new house. I mean, brand new. This is in the 80s. This wasn't, you know, 100 years ago. This is in the 80s, you know. And so they had a house warming, you know, and had everybody come see our new house. And so, you know, the preacher and his wife obviously were invited. They came over. It's a true story. And so they're in there looking at the house. Nice, you know, everything brand new, nice, and everything looking real good. And he's looking around. Finally, he went up to the man and said, brother, this is really nice. He goes, I know. This is, man, the Lord's been so good. He said, yeah. He said, but I got a question. He said, what's that? He said, where's the restroom? He goes, oh, preacher, that ain't no place to do that sort of thing. He said, what do you mean? They kept the outhouse. They didn't believe it was right to go inside the house. You know, they kept it. It's like, whoa. I mean, that's, you know. But the outhouse is gone. A telephone booth. Remember that? telephone booth. Now, I mean, like I say, now we got the phones on us. You know, we were watching, we were up in New Jersey, and we were sleeping on the floor of church up there, and they had some old VCRs and stuff, videos, and they had Distant Thunder. Remember that old one? You remember that? And Thief in the Night? And I said, well, you know, for old time's sake, let's watch this thing. And it's about the rapture, and you know, and it was pretty rough, but it wasn't bad. And so we were watching it, and you know, and the girl's running, you know, it's the tribulation, she's running for her life and all this stuff. Boom, pulls up to a phone booth, gets in, got a convertible Mustang, you know, gets out, runs in, she's going, ring, 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 ring. It's ringing. Oh, come on. I thought, suspense, man. This is suspense. You know, like, wow. It's like, man, I haven't seen one of them in a long time. You know, it's amazing. How many of you remember the last flight? Can I see your hands? One, two. Okay. So it was the last flight. It was when the television signed off. See, now television doesn't sign off. It's 24 hours. But there was a time, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning or 2, I think it was 2, something like that. And it was last flight, man. And this thing, this jet's going through the clouds, you know, we're watching that. And you know, and we're staying up, you know, and we're closing down television, man. And that was last flight. Those are gone. Those things are gone. And I want to preach tonight on the subject of some things that are gone when we get to heaven. Some things that are gone when we get to heaven. Now he says here in verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now see, number one, the ache is gone. You say, what ache? The ache of departed loved ones. When you've lost somebody and you're close to them and you love them and they're saved. Well, even with the lost, that ache will be gone too. But, you know, somebody that's close to you and you miss them, and there's people, they've lost a loved one, and young people, you don't realize it. Maybe nobody knows, and when they're all by themselves and they know no one's around, they cry. They miss them. They miss them. And they live with an ache day in, day out. There's something there. It just hurts. Just hurts. Bible says, till death do us part. I was thinking about that. And if the Lord tarries and someday, I don't know whether Terry will go before me or I'll go before her. Usually the men go first. And I guess that gives the wife a little rest or something. I don't know. But that hurt. There's a preacher up in Rochester, Brother Roscoe. He lost his wife, and she died of cancer. She fought it for a number of years, and went home with the Lord. And they loved God, served God, Bible believers and all. And, I think he was telling me it had been a month or 2 months after she was gone, and he'd had all kinds of stents. He has heart trouble. And he said, I got more balloons in me than a birthday party. I mean, he put a stent after stent, you know, and that sort of thing. And his left arm was really hurting him. I mean, it was hurting. He figured, oh, here we go. Here's more heart trouble. And went into the doctor and they examined him, said, no, your heart's fine. You're doing okay. We can't find anything wrong with your heart. He said, well, what's wrong? What is it? And they did some more testing and they said, it's broken heart syndrome. Broken heart syndrome. And I guess it's not an uncommon thing that when a husband and wife been very, very close, the one's departed, then, you know, I guess that thing, that left arm, whatever, it hurts. It hurts. And they said it's because you got a broken heart. You got a broken heart. Brother Roscoe's up there, got a broken heart. And one of these days, he's going to be home. And the ache is going to be gone. Some of you here tonight, I bet you got an ache. I bet somebody's gone. Maybe it's mom or daddy. I don't know. Loved one. And there's an ache there. You think about them and maybe get choked up to this day. Maybe it's been 20 years ago. I know there was a lady, Tessie. She was real close to me and lost her husband. And it had been like 25 years since she'd lost him. You mentioned his name, she'd tear up. Missed him. There's an ache. One of these days we're going to get to heaven and that ache's going to be gone. There's going to be just reunions up there. It's going to be a great time up there. It's just going to be wonderful. David ached for his baby. That baby, Bathsheba, and he and had done wrong and judgment. God brought judgment there, and David's fasting and praying, and the Bible says he's weeping over that baby. Finally, the Lord takes that little baby and you know the story, and he gets up and says, "Fix me something." They're like, "Well, what is it?" He said, I can't, you know, I should go to him. He'll not come back to me. And boy, David ached over that. Abraham ached over Sarah. He said, "I got to find a place to bury my dead out of my sight." An ache, burden his heart. There's an ache there. One of these days, we're going to get to a place where there's no more heartache. There's no more broken hearts. There's no more ache. There's no more departure. There's no more goodbyes. And I look forward to that day. That's going to be a great, great day. Maybe you had a loved one and they're lost. And it hurts. I was thinking about that, praying over this sermon. My dad's lost. He's about 90 now. And I'll pray and say, "God, please, please." I've fasted, I've prayed, and it's just stubborn, Dutch, hard, and praying over him, and if he dies tonight, he's going to hell. And I just think, man, why do you have to be so hard? Dad, why do you have to be so hard? And it'll hurt. And one day we'll be in heaven. That ache will be gone. I thank God for that. We're going to heaven. If you're saved tonight, you're going to heaven. And I want you to just realize it's going to be good. We're just going. It won't be long. We're going to be home. The longer I'm saved down here, the more I realize this world's not my home. I don't want to be down here. I just, the stuff I see and the stuff I see about myself and on and on and on, I want to go. I want to go home. I want to get on the other side. Aspirations and desires for, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. The older I get, the less I want to do any of that stuff. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful, and I want to be faithful to the call of God on my life and do what God wants me to do. But as far as accomplishing things and all that stuff, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. There was a lady that called her grandma. I imagine her granddaughter wrote this. And grandpa died. And they were at the funeral parlor. And everybody was gathered there. And she walked by and body was there in the casket. And grandma walked by there, looked down at her husband. And she reached in, kind of touched him and said, "Well, Dad, we'll see you in the morning." She went on, sat down by her son, and preacher got up and preached, not a long sermon, about 20 minutes or so. And as he was getting to the end of his sermon, grandma, sitting there by her son, she just breathed a deep breath, just went, put her head on her son's shoulder, and died. Gone. And then the family realized what tender love they had for each other. And she went home. She met him in the morning. One of these days we're going to heaven and the ache, it'll be gone. I'll tell you something else going to be gone. Go to Psalm 55. And something else going to be gone. And I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be a blessing. Psalm 55, let's look at verse 12. Psalm 55 and verse 12. The Bible says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. And one of these days we're going to get to heaven, and you know what's going to be gone? The anger of the brethren. I'm looking forward to that, amen? I mean, just fighting, you know, all that stuff. And it isn't just Baptists. I mean, the lost are fighting. I mean, the lost are, you know, fight. I mean, there's wars going on, you know. I mean, the Mormons fight, the Jehovah's Witness fight, the Baptists fight. I mean, just fight, you know, all that sort of thing. And one of these days we're going to get to heaven, and all the fighting's going to be done. All the animosity and the anger and, you know, and all that stuff's going to be over. And it's just going to be sweet, godly fellowship forever and ever and ever. Man, that's going to be good. Man, I get tired of the battles and things, you know. And I know I preached on it the other night about Mary, you know, and she's just trying to serve God and people are getting mad. You know, it's amazing how that thing works. But, you know, Paul withstood Peter the face there in Galatians, and you know, he said, you know, he was worthy to be rebuked, and rebukes him there. And Peter got right, thank God. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. And there's going to be, you know, there's going to be dissensions, and there's going to be things, and all that stuff. As long as we're in the flesh, that stuff's going to be. And but it's hard when it's somebody that you've served God together with and prayed together and you love each other. And you still love each other, but there's a division. There's a division. And there's a day coming when all the anger's gone. There'll be a perfect love for each other, a perfect communion with each other. I mean, David's weeping over Jonathan. That wasn't really a division, but he's gone. It looks like that here in Psalm 55, Ahithophel and David, they had a fallen out. There's no doubt about that. But Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. And you run those references, I'm not going to do it now, but Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather, and it looks like when David did what he did, committed adultery, Ahithophel was absolutely furious. And he'd been his counselor. They'd been very, very close. And now there's a division there. One of these days, there'll be no more divisions. Man, people just arguing, fighting, you know, stuff. I mean, I you know, they'll say, well, bless God, I think, brother, you need to just get right with God. He said, well, bless God, I think you need to get saved. Well, I think, you know, you're getting that stuff. And I just picture, you know, two guys just going out. Well, I think, and the rapture takes place. Well, I think, boom! He says, I love you! You know, hug him, man. That'll be good, man. That'll be good. As soon as you get rid of this flesh, all that stuff be done. I mean, they'll get things straightened out, the judgment seat of Christ, you know. But one of these days, the anger's gone. Maybe anger of family. I mentioned that, you know, about the division there in family, because you're serving God. Maybe anger, church, family, whatever, just on and on and on, just fighting, all that stuff. One of these days, it'll all be over. And it's not just this age. I mean, I remember Dr. Ruckman talking about when he was at Bob Jones University years ago. And in those days, there was a big row between, he said it was Billy Graham and John R. Rice. You know, who's vying for the top evangelist slot, you know, and it's Bob Jones University, and so there was a certain element there. And he said the joke was, they'd say, what's for breakfast? And the reply was, well, I think we're having graham crackers and puffed rice, you know. Well, the fighting's going on back then. I mean, that, it just on and on and on, and sometimes it just gets you down. You know, it's like, you know, you want to do the Rodney King. You know, can't we all get along? You know, but some of that's before your time, I know. But we're going to get to heaven, and man, we're all going to get along. I mean, the anger and the fighting and all that stuff is going to be over. And I'll tell you, these lips of clay can't fully describe the bliss it's going to be when it's just unity. I mean, it's just going to be wonderful. And I'll tell you something else, and you know this. Sorrow's gone. It said over there, Revelation 21:4, wipe away all tears from their eyes. And in this life, there's going to be tears. I said, preacher, man, you got such a negative view of this life. Yeah, it's a biblical view. You know, it's not Joel Osteen, you know, a better you, you know, and all that stuff. It's the better me was, you know, when I was about 1 month old, you know, I mean, it's been downhill ever since. One of these days, all the sorrow is going to be gone. The Bible says in thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. I mean, just happy, happy. Everybody will be happy over there, as the song says. And just joy, joy, joy. But in this life, there's tears. I mean, there's tears from pain. And I mean physical pain. Man, I remember one time, I had a super bad ear infection. And my ear had swollen shut. And there was a yellow liquid draining out and dripping off my chin, man. It was bad. And man, I went to the doctor and they gave me some stuff for it, and it was going to take a little while for it to take effect, you know, and stuff. And I remember sitting, when you're really in pain, you close your eyes and you rock. Do you know that? You're just like, and man, and there's tears coming out of my eyes. You say, oh man, you're just a sissy. Maybe so, but man, that thing hurt. I remember one day I was working out there in California in front of Gould Medical Group. There's a big old building with a bunch of doctors in it, and I was eating lunch and the window was down. It was a nice day and I'm eating and I heard someone crying. And it was a wail and it was a bitter cry. And they're just crying and broken and crying. And the person with them is trying to comfort them and didn't know what to say. And I wonder what the diagnosis is. I wonder if it's cancer. I wonder if it's, you know, there's no hope. And they're just weeping and weeping and weeping. Or maybe it was a loved one. I don't know. But there's tears of pain in this life. Tears. Tears. They think Obama's going to take it away and all that stuff. It ain't going to happen. There's weeping from repentance. I get tired of having to confess sins. I mean, Brother Skip talking about that thing and this week and different things. Confessing our sins before God. I get tired of that. I do it because I want to be right with God. I mean, I don't want anything between me and my God. Amen. I want nothing between my soul and the Savior. But man, I get tired of letting Him down. I do. Man, there's something in me, and it's in you too if you're saved. There's something in you that wants to please Him. That new man wants to do right and wants to please Him and wants to be what he wants you to be. And that old man just gets the better of us. Give in, give in. Gotta confess it. Confess it. Weep over it. When's the last time you wept over your sins? Some people, it's been months, maybe years. Man, it just, one of the ways I can tell I'm still right with God is I'm under conviction. I mean, it just, but I get tired of it. I get tired of it. Weeping over hardship, trying to get money to pay the bills. And you're working and working and doing your best and you're trying your best and you're praying for money and you get just enough money to meet the bill or maybe not quite enough and there's another one there and something springs up and then something breaks on the car and boy, after a while, it can get you down. It can break your heart and say, God, I'm tired. I weep over that stuff. One of these days, be in heaven. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more tears. No more sorrow. It'll be gone. I don't understand that. And you don't either. A life of no sorrow. A life of always joy, always bliss. But you know what? If you're saved, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. I mean, we're going to be there one day and just no more tears, no more sorrow. You say, what is that? That's home. That's heaven. That's what that is. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to never getting in trouble. You know, confessing your sins. Hey, young men, won't be great. Never get in trouble again. Hey, kids. Kids, can you imagine? Young people, can you imagine never getting in trouble? You know? Maybe there's someone here tonight, you just got a ticket, you know, speeding ticket or something. In heaven, no tickets. No jails. No courts, you know, after judgment to Christ, all that stuff. You know, I understand. You understand what I'm saying? But I mean, never messing up again. You'll always do right. Man. You say, what is that? That's heaven. Sometimes, you know what? You just need to think about heaven. Just think about how good it's going to be. And boy, it is going to be good. I'll tell you something else, and you know this. Sin is going to be gone. What's that mean? You're going to be one with God. I mean, one with God. What does that mean? I have no idea. Go to John 17. I mean, I know it's so, but, I mean, it's so far out. I mean, you can't describe it. One with God. Now, I am one with God right now. The Bible says I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I am spiritually, but the full union has not taken place yet. I'm still in this old man, this old body, and so there's a certain element of division there. But one of these days, all that's going to be gone. And look at John 17, and look at verse 20. The Bible says, neither pray I for these alone, this is Jesus praying, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that's you. The Lord is praying for you and me. What was He praying? That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Is Jesus Christ and the Father one? Yes. All right, Jesus prays, Father, as you and I are one, I want them to be one with us. Now, how do you explain that? How do you explain that? I mean, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. One with God. I mean, when I think about that, I think about the power and the energy. I mean, hooked in. Man, you're never tired. Man, not that. I was just like, woo! Glory to God, man. And I mean, you're one with love that is just, that's what He is. God is love. You get preaching some things, you get frustrated because you can't describe it. You know? But can you imagine being one with God? I mean, one of these days when the sin is gone, we're out of it, we're in heaven, we're one, we're married to the God of the universe. Wow, man. I mean, that's amazing. I remember I took some welding classes and in welding, there was these two. They're explaining that when a weld's done properly, you can't tell that it had ever been welded. And I'm like, yeah, right. And he showed on the top side of this display, there had been two pieces of metal, and they had beveled it down, and then they welded those things. They welded those things, those two together. And then they took a grinder and ground that thing down through the weld. And when you looked at it, you couldn't tell in where it had been ground that it had ever been two separate pieces. That metal, it was all the same color. It looked all the same grain. It looked everything. It was all one. Right through there, it had been welded. And one of these days we get to heaven, we're one with God. That's things that are just too marvelous for me to comprehend. It really is. And last of all, go to Philippians 3. Isn't it good to be saved? I just want to remind you one of these days, these things, we're going to be home. We're going to be home. It's heaven. I mean, you know, the Bible says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I just want to exhort tonight. The reproof and rebuke, I'll leave that to Brother Skipper, he can be the bad guy. And But, you know, rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. I just wanted to remind you some things in heaven. And of course, last of all, the sinful mortal body will be gone. We'll have a brand new body. Look at Philippians 3 verse 21. The Bible says, who shall change our vile body. You know your body's vile. You know that? Now the modern Christians, they don't like that. Oh, it's not vile. Yeah, well just don't take a bath for a few days. You'll be vile. I guarantee you. Even if you don't think so, those around you will. But I mean, you're dead, you know, dead 4 days. Behold, you stinketh, you know. I mean, your vile body. I mean, that's it. We're vile. One of these days, the vile body's going to be gone. Going to be gone. And we'll get a brand new body. He'll change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. This modern Christianity is just so much of the churches are so concerned about their body. Their body, their body, their body. Oh, you don't eat this, don't eat that. You know, no. Oh, you gotta do this. No, it's just a body. Hey man, what about your spirit? What about being right with God? What about mortifying it? All that stuff. It gets to me. It just bugs me, man. I give him a bad time, you know. And they'll say, oh, you shouldn't eat that, you know. And I say, well, I use aspartame. You're a preacher, you know. Yeah, it's great. The flies don't land on my cup. It's great. I don't have to worry about bugs getting in it, you know. It works great, you know. Some of you are like, so that's what I'm talking about, man. Anyway, that's another sermon. One of these days, we're going to get a brand new body. And it's going to be marvelous. I mean, you'll be able to pass through walls. You'll be able to fly. You ever have a dream you could fly? I like those dreams, man. I mean, one of those. Those are what. Now, I haven't had one in a long time. It's usually when you're a kid. You know, you get some of those. And maybe some of the older people. I don't know. Maybe you get them too. Maybe. But I remember I was having a dream I could fly. And I remember that's like, oh, man, this is good. And I was starting to wake up, you know. And it's like, no, man, I don't want to wake up yet. No, stay down here. I want to keep it going, you know. And one of these days, you have a body. You know, you'll be able to fly. You know, I mean, you're never going to get sick, never get tired, you know. I mean, time's never going to pinch wrinkles in your face. And you're not going to be bowed over from gravity and the weight and all that stuff. I mean, just an absolutely perfect body. And you're going to have one if you're saved. I mean, some of you right here tonight, you're hurting. You're hurting. Arthritis. You know, different things. Problems in there. One of these days, step into a new body and there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more fatigue, no more sin. I mean, just absolutely perfect. Just like Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Every once in a while, you know what? You need to try to imagine that. Really? The Bible says set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And every now and then, you need to stop and think about what it's going to be like in heaven. And think about your new body and set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, because it's going to be wonderful. And it won't be that long. It's not that far away. Just a vapor. Done. And boy, we're going to be home. It's a brand new body. Just like the Lord. I remember watching this. It was some National Geographic thing or something. But I don't know why I was watching it. But it was these do-gooders, environmentalists. And I used to be one. So, but anyway, they were trying to help these birds. And they were in Mono Lake. I don't know where it's out in California, wherever that direction is. But anyway, they're in Mono Lake, and there were these mud flats, and these little, I think they're egrets. They were white birds and long legs, and they're walking through the mud, and the mud's collecting on their legs, and the clump of mud's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. These are just little babies, you know, and they didn't have the strength to fly away. And these environmentalists are like, oh, you know, we feel so far sorry for them, we're going to help them out. And so anyway, they went out there, and they started getting these little birds. And the little birds, man, they're just laid over in the mud. And they'd get those birds and they'd pick one up and they'd go over and they'd find a little rock. They had a little hammer and there was a little clump of mud on each leg and they'd go bing and they'd knock that mud off. And they'd get the other one bing and they'd just crumble, And then they'd let the bird go. And that little bird, man, it was high stepping it, man. When they let it go, it was like, woo woo! I mean, that them legs were going like that and then it flapped and it just took off. And one of these days, we're getting a new body. We'll be high-stepping it, man. It'll be like, wow. Glory to God. Let me give this illustration. I'm done. I remember I was trying to start a church out there in California. And there was a lady there. Her name is Laura Mouchette, I believe it was. She's about 30, something like that. And Laura came to the services. It was a apartment complex, and they had a conference room, and we were meeting there, and Laura came to the service in a wheelchair. She needed somebody to help her out of bed, and she came there, and she'd sit there, and she enjoyed the services, and then she'd go back and go back to bed, get out of that wheelchair. I think about that. I think about another lady that I visited in Pensacola when I was in Bible school. She was laying in bed. She'd been there something like 20 years. She couldn't get out. She'd lay there. She was neck down. She just lay there and pretty soon her body would start twitching. And she'd been there. I mean, she'd been there a long time. And I prayed with her and she was saved. Can you imagine someone like that at the rapture? I mean, they're laying there, and all of a sudden, boy, the Lord descends with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and their name's called, and they come out of there, their body's changed. Boy, don't you know they'll be shouting? Don't you know they're going to be rejoicing, man? That body, that prison that had been all just broken, now was brand new and vibrant and alive, and they'd gone from just a horrible prison to unlimited liberty with their new body. When we get to heaven, there's going to be some things gone. And I am really looking forward to that day. If you're saved, that stuff's going to be gone. And we're going to be home. Thank God. Let's pray. Father, God, I just pray you bless the message. Lord, it's so good to be saved. God, we're trying. We love you, Lord, and we want to do right. And God, we mess up so often and let you down and on and on and on. And God, I'm looking forward to that day when we're just like Thee. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.